Rick, sure. Rick, do you want to give it?
Yeah. Are we talking about the opening there right after read Philippians 2:5-11?
Yep, if you can read Philippians 2:5-11, the part right out of the Bible there.
Okay, 2:5-11.
Yep.
Most of the people in Paul's world, people like Alexander and Augustus.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Bible.
Okay.
Not the sheep. Do you have your Bible?
Well, I'm looking at the...
No, he wants you to have the Bible.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I've just got the sheet up.
You're good. Let me read the Bible text, and then I'll have Rick read that paragraph. Okay, this is the text. By the way, we believe this little section, verses 5 through 11, was actually a hymn.
Reading.
In other words, what Paul's doing here is he's sharing a hymn that was being passed around by Christians in the first century. It would be like us passing around, I'll Fly Away. Or some song that's become kind of folklore. This little section of the Bible, we believe, is actually a hymn that was floating around in the early church those first few years. So here it is. Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right. Rick, do you want to go ahead and read that next paragraph for some discussion
sure.
here?
Most of the people in Paul's world, thinking that people like Alexander and Augustus were fantastic leaders, were shocked beyond belief at the idea that the one true God known at last in the person of a crucified Jew. Many people in our world find it difficult as well. And we might like to ask the reason why. Could it be that we, too, have allowed ourselves to slide into pagan views of what deity or divinity consist of? Views that would then make it difficult to fit Jesus into them. If so, isn't it about time we did what New Testament writers urge us to do? In verse 5, rethink our whole picture of what it means to be a leader.
And again, this is kind of pointed. That little paragraph is pretty pointed. What do you think? Again, Paul, how do we know Paul's playing with our minds here? In verse 5, he says, have this mind. He wants our thinking to be changed. Consider this. The word there. So how would the picture of Jesus here go dramatically against the picture of Alexander with the words that we just read in Philippians? How do they go against that picture?
Jesus. Oh, they're aggressive.
Okay, Craig says he humbled himself and became a servant. I heard you say something. Yeah, so I think you guys are getting the picture here of what the picture that Paul has here of a leader. Was Paul saying that when Jesus became a human? I want to get we got a doctrine point here. This is kind of reviewing the Lutheran Church. You know, maybe you grew up with this teaching. The pastors did a good job training this, I think, in our churches. Did Jesus, when he became a human, did he set aside his divinity? In other words, when Paul says that he emptied himself and became nothing, is Paul saying that Jesus was, you know, not divine in that moment? Is that what he's saying? Yeah. No, that's not what he's saying there. He's really saying Jesus was 100% human, man, and 100% God all the time. It's not as if when he came, he kind of lowered the level of his godhood so that it was 0% and suffered, and then that was just as human. No. The teaching is that when Jesus died on the cross, he was 100% divine. And so the picture that we have here is actually when we suffer and when we serve, that's divinity. That's what Paul's saying here. Now remember, Alexander and Caesar Augustus, they get the claims Lord and divinity because they're winning and they're successful. Paul's saying divinity is shown in suffering and in servanthood. They couldn't be any more different, the two. All right, Rick was on a call with me on Friday, and Rick, you're going to be happy I have this little chart here. When we talk about leadership, just going to throw this out here. Just an extra thing, not trying to we don't even have to have a much conversation about this, but in the training, Rick and I were receiving this last week through Pastoral Leadership Institute. It suggested this picture for a true leader. You have high character on the top, low character on the bottom, high competency over on the right, low competency over on the left. When someone has high character and they are low competency, in other words, they don't have great skills to do something, that the word is that mix is they're limited. Low competency mixed with low character is you're basically irrelevant. You're not going to be able to impact a lot of people and influence others. When you have high competency, you have lots of skill and knowledge, but you have low character, that's called dangerous. In other words, you know what you're doing, and you're kind of doing it to manipulate other people. That's a dangerous description of leaders. Then the best is to have high character and high competency. That's when we're fruitful. That's when a leader is their best. So, Joan, what do you got?
I feel that.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So let's boil this down just for a couple minutes. How does this teaching about leadership, we don't want to think of the pastor. We want to think of ourselves as leaders. How could this definition of Jesus, again, Paul's not saying, hey, just think of Jesus this way. Paul's saying your mind should be changed. Your mind. This isn't just the pastor or the leader. You know, the minds of Christians should be changed to take on this view of Jesus. So what are some ways in which we can exhibit and show this kind of leadership that Paul's talking about? I'll give you a couple examples. One would be when I visit members, I see cards that other members have written to those people. In other words, they took time out of their schedule to reach out. That no one sees that, but it is a silent ministry that makes a big difference. Facebook. When I look at Facebook, what if instead of promoting ourselves or what we're doing, showing everyone what we're doing, again, that's an important part of Facebook, but I read something from someone that said, why don't we use Facebook to highlight other people and how they're making a difference? Leadership is actually showing a spotlight on other people, not ourselves. Thoughts on this? This can really affect us and how we kind of live our world.